More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. That's 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. What?
Swaghart just got done with his update. Instead of turning the YouTube camera off, he just kept it on. And the brand man, kind enough to bring us donuts this morning. And so the YouTube feed was just him grabbing, just eating a donut.
I'm just Homer.
I just let him know, like, hey, I think the camera's still on you. I think you got to adjust that camera a little bit over there.
Yeah, the brand man came in and offered a donut, and I'm like, I can't, man. And I felt like I really hurt his feelings on that.
Eat the donut. Eat the donut.
Look, as somebody who will occasionally bring random stuff in for coworkers, I can appreciate a good coworker caring about his coworkers.
Bringing a donut. I'm here early. He's heading down to the he's got to fly out down to Stillwater today. Wow. Go check out Garth Brooks's bar. Hopefully, I want to review on that.
After Hood to Coast, I usually take about 4 or 5 days, like the full week,
just and pig I pig out. Become
I,
a.
I told him I ate cake one day when I woke up. I just ate cake. And I was just like, you just did the whole I deserve it thing. And I'm like, yeah every
you're,
bite.
You're damn right I you deserve it. You're Ben Stiller at the end of Dodgeball.
And so now it's gotten to a point where I don't really want to eat anything. And so the timing of the donut was bad. I told him no initially.
It's
and
like
then
three
I,
bites and it's gone. You don't even notice
well,
it.
Well, it's only 1,000 calories. No big deal.
You're fine.
Nothing to see here. That was the breakfast for me today.
That's a solid breakfast right there. A good, like, I'm not a huge donut guy, but basic, simple, like, just get the job done.
Yeah.
Bingo, bango, bongo, three bites and you're gone. It can serve a purpose.
You're also not participating in the nice gesture sometimes, guy, because I once brought donuts in for you when we did a morning show on the weekend.
What kind of donuts were they? Do you remember? Were they regular run-of-the-mill donuts?
They were the mixed variety. They were the cake and the chocolate and then, like, the powdered sugar.
Because some of them I'm out on. I'm not a big powdered sugar guy. The cake ones I'm not a huge fan of. Like, sometimes it's, like, too overwhelmingly sweet early in the morning.
I hear you.
And I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah.
It's like a maple bar is usually the easy go-to for me. Like, it's just, it's simple.
You know the one I like the most that I don't buy, but I used to house them as a kid, are those little chocolate-covered ones. They either come in the bag or, like, the six.
Are we talking
ones?
The holes or the full donut? The full circular donut?
But the mini versions.
Yeah.
You know, like the donuts.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Dude, yeah. I could house a whole bag of those Hostess donut chocolate ones.
Just keep throwing them around, man.
I love those things. NFL coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years. Guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program.
Quick update, by the way, that we got A.J. Brown, high ankle sprain.
Okay, so it's probably a couple weeks, I would imagine, right?
Like,
you want to be cautious with that?
He will not be back. I would be surprised if he's back in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
You know, I was thinking about this. The Broncos added Waddle, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
What is the last big-name receiver that got added to... Well, I guess you could say A.J. Brown in a certain extent. The big addition of a receiver doesn't always feel like it pays off in the way that you think it will.
It's a good question.
But he got added to the Eagles and they won the Super Bowl.
And they won the title, yeah.
So I guess that's a bad question to ask today.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Cooper Kupp ended up being impacted, but that's different. He's at the back end of his
career.
But
that was the back end.
Yeah. Devontae Adams did have a good year last year. The Rams didn't, you know, make it all the way, but he had a really good year last year.
But they were already, you know what I mean? Like, elevates the passing attack.
That's a really good question.
It's just an interesting
I'm sure there's a couple that we're not thinking of the top of our head, but now that you bring it up, it's like, yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot of those end up working out very well.
We fall in love with the move, and then it's like, well, but he has to get the football thrown.
The most iconic one of all time, it didn't ironically end up working out, is Randy Moss in New England. You're like, oh my God, Randy Moss.
I mean, that's
with
Tom. The best example.
And it's the best offense we've ever seen, and then somehow they didn't win the Super Bowl.
All right, we got a lot to get to. Let's open up the cafe as we step in this morning.
Hello, welcome into the cafe.
We are looking live.
You are looking live. He's talking donuts over there, man.
I love when Dustin's like, my fault.
That's
me. My fault.
That one's on me. Hand up. Chest tap.
So I'm going to continue the celebrity breakfast edition.
Yeah.
Today's special is the do it all for you Dolly. The Dolly Parton breakfast special.
What did Dolly love for breakfast?
Well, she loved a variety of things, but one of her sneaky favorites was a Folgers cup of coffee with a little cream.
The best part of waking up.
And a homemade egg salad on toast with tomato.
I'll give it a shot.
Really?
For breakfast? I think I would.
I'm out on egg salad for breakfast.
Yeah, you don't like egg salad at all.
I mean, I like it. Yeah. It's okay. I don't regularly make it or eat it very often. I'll eat a sandwich occasionally.
I'll mess with some egg salad.
Not in the morning.
I've eaten a gas station
egg
salad
before. That ain't how I'm doing my eggs. That's disgusting. That is absolutely got
to push
disgusting.
It to the limit, baby.
But let's start. Open up the cafe. Full menu on. We'll start here.
And sources tell me and colleague Adam Schefter that Brock Bowers, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, one of the best players in the NFL, regardless of position, recently underwent surgery on his knee. Our understanding is it is a meniscus trim. Dr. Daniel Cooper, one of the most respected surgeons in the NFL, he did the procedure. That is the Dallas Cowboys team doctor based in Dallas. That is where Brock Bowers went. The road to recovery now begins. Our understanding is this injury, which was originally diagnosed during training camp, is going to keep him out a week or two. So the hope is he is back sooner rather than later. But Brock Bowers now expected to miss the opener at least for the Las Vegas Raiders.
There's Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. Brock Bowers with a meniscus trim, which sounds awful. My biggest concern with him is we know how great he is, but I'm just concerned he kind of becomes the oft-injured tight end who we know is great, plays for like four different teams. That's like my nightmare of what it is.
Journeyman, bounce around guy because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, he's clearly a stud. We know this about him.
He played, 12 games last year, I think the numbers were, when I was looking at that yesterday. I also just had the dumb thought, and this is really stupid, but when you have hair like he has, like, I just feel like your body's going to break down. Like, he's so bald.
He doesn't have hair. He shaved his head.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you're bald that early, like, is that a sign of other cells in your body that are also giving up, or is it just the hair?
Really?
I did have the thought. I know it's really dumb.
When did Michael Jordan officially go bald?
See, now, was he always, like, did he lose his hair bald, or he just wanted to be bald?
No.
Because he was bald.
He came in the league with hair.
He had hair early.
And what people have unearthed that you don't see, he had a season where it was like...
receding.
Oh, it was patchy.
Ooh, I don't remember Patchy Jordan.
Nobody does.
Patchy Jordan's a great nickname.
Which is why one year he just came in and it was gone.
Just peace, see you later.
But he had a season where he was trying to keep it around and it was like, there's a lot of areas there.
That's a great point. I mean, that's right in my face of that argument.
I had a buddy show me the photo. He goes, people don't talk about this Jordan. And there was a season where the hair was patchy. And then the next season he came in completely bald.
I mean, look, that's the way to do it when it does get patchy.
I mean, yeah, good for him.
When I say MJ loses hair, now it's all going to Michael Jackson stuff, so that's not helping.
Well, also bald.
Also a ball. I mean, this is brutal. He was jumping. Did you see the video? There was a video of him the other day at camp. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, where he's doing these like warm-ups, jumping off of one leg, and just looked like me. Like just every
like
step like hurt. And then a really bad look for the Raiders, by the way, whose head coach, Kubiak, came out after practice yesterday and said everybody will be available for game one. What about Crosby? What about Bowers? He said, yep, they should be good to go. And then like an hour later, they announced, nope, he's going to be out for a while.
We're going to focus on the game-winning goal with less than 3 minutes to play in regulation time. I think we have to start, Barry, by you saying, what is Chris Letang doing behind the other team's goaltender? You're no, yes.
And I can guarantee you the coaches did not draw this goal up before the game because this was crazy. Okay, you mentioned Letang. He's behind the net fighting for the puck in a 2-2 game. Not always the right thing to do. Hagelin's in the corner with him helping. Burns is in the corner, but Burns doesn't have a stick. It got helicoptered away, and it lands in front of the goaltender in his own zone. So Letang gets it. He throws it through Burns' skates to Bonino in front of the net. But Martin's in front of the net. It should be picked up, right? Martin looks over his right shoulder to see if he can find Bonino. Can't find him, so he thinks no one's there. Bonino comes in from the left side, and the puck ends up in Bonino's stick. Quick shot, one-timer, into the net. Magnificent play, but I can guarantee you it wasn't drawn up like that on the board before the game.
R.I.P. to one of our favorites. We mentioned it at the top of the show. Barry Melrose passed away yesterday at the age of 70. The longtime ESPN hockey analyst, and then, of course, also a coach.
Yep.
Just one of my favorites. Even for a sport I didn't really consume much of, he made me care about it when I watched him on television.
Had a great long playing career. Obviously, you know, a coaching stint in the NHL. You know, him being in L.A. when Gretzky got there will always be something that I think will be connected to.
He was the Thunderbirds coach for a season.
He was in the WHL for a while.
Won a Memorial Cup. He won a Calder Cup in the AHL before he got the Kings gig and was a couple of games from winning a Stanley Cup at 35 years old as a head coach.
He was a journeyman player and coach. You look at his player record, too. I mean, it was the same thing. AHL, NHL, up and down, just grinded for like 20-plus years. And a great broadcaster, man. An iconic voice for the sport of hockey. RIP, gone too soon.
Order up! The strength of his arm, being able to throw, you know, long, deep throws, and really zip it whenever he needs to as well. I mean, everybody knows of his, you know, what he does with the ball in his hand, running the ball, but him being able to throw it into spots before the receiver even turns around. So it's really cool seeing him anticipate some of those throws and, you know, throwing them to a spot that we need him to be.
There's Justin Jefferson on the now starting quarterback, Kyler Murray. As the depth chart got released for the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy is quarterback number three. And Minnesota, a fascinating team going into the league. Almost all the preview magazines say Minnesota could be good, but almost none of them are picking them to win the division in the projections. You are taking the Minnesota risk. I like it because they were really close last year and they had no quarterback play. So the belief could be that Kyler takes a step. If he does and has a good year, the Minnesota defense paired with the weapons might be enough in that division.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this with how many guys now, right? You've seen it with Baker. You've seen it. Darnold just won a Super Bowl. Like, sometimes the new spot and the new home is the right spot for you. And I think Kyler Murray will have coaching and talent around him that he's never really had in the length of his NFL career. They have a pretty solid defense to go with it. They start the season with a really fascinating game, man. You got a divisional showdown against Green Bay. I believe it's in Minnesota, if I'm not wrong. This weekend right out of the gate, so you get a fun one right off the bat, and I'm excited to see what he can do. I've never been the biggest Kyler Murray guy. I think the reality for him now in Minnesota, you don't have to be everything. Just don't lose games. Like, be efficient, run the ball when you need to, don't turn it over a ton, get the ball to Justin Jefferson, and you'll be all right. People did also point out the joke of they made J.J. McCarthy the number three quarterback on 9-9.
I should feel bad for him at this point.
I don't. He brushes his teeth left-handed to unlock parts of his brain that he can't unlock.
Order up!
Your reaction to Coach Bonanno's comments about how your job isn't permanent?
Those comments about that?
Yeah, he said that your job isn't infinite, you know, as a starter.
That's cool. I see that. So,
what's your reaction?
It's cool.
Boy, I know that's hard to maybe hear if you're listening on the Odyssey app or 105.1 driving. So that was Bryce Underwood at a press conference and a reporter telling him about the Whittingham comments of nobody's job is secure, they all need to earn it, he's the quarterback right now. I guess Underwood had no idea these comments were made.
He said that? What? Cool.
This is all-time bad vibes going into a massive game this weekend because you don't just have Texas, Ohio State. You've got Michigan, Oklahoma as well.
Big nooner.
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe Michigan will respond and actually look functional on offense, but I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
The Kyle Whittingham thing so far in Michigan, it's not off to the most stellar start, and Bryce Underwood finding out from a reporter what his coach thinks about his position.
Yeah, I'm sure there was more in the interview. I did see another clip or the press conference where he said there's a handful of plays that he wants back that changed the course of the game and he needs to be better. And so there was some accountability taken.
How about three quarters?
Exactly. The entire thing was ugly. I just, in that moment, it's such an easy answer for a player. Like, dude, we barely just beat Western Michigan. Everybody's job should be on the line. Like, it's a very easy response.
You mean from the player?
I didn't play well. Like, I need to be better. Like, it's a
Can
simple thing.
Can I push back
thing.
On that?
Go ahead.
You're not wrong in
he
your
logic.
He was
12 of 22 yeah. for 170 yards, and without the Hail Mary, he would have been 11 of 21 for about 120 yards.
He was terrible. The argument or pushback is not about your point. Your point is valid. What I push back on is the idea that a 19, 20-year-old guy is going to have the wherewithal to say, my job should be on the line based on how we play. I think you can say I need to correct some things, but, like, put yourself at that age. Are you saying that to the media? I'm certainly not.
I certainly wouldn't be shocked by the idea of I can lose my job when I shouldn't have thrown a touchdown pass against Western Michigan at home in my opener. The idea should not be absurd to you.
But you're making like $5, $6, $7 million a year. You're the number one prospect of your recruiting class.
You've sucked in 90% of the games
you played.
I think
those things are things we think now at our age.
You're probably
and not
right.
How we would, you know,
you're probably
calculate
right.
Most of it at 19, 20.
I just would like to think if when I played a bad game, I had no problem being like, and I'm not certainly that level in any way, shape, or form.
You telling
like,
the local media,
like, dude, I
we
played like
won tonight against Grant.
I played like ass last night. Like, I had no problem laying in bed that night, being like, dude, I was terrible tonight.
But
I need to be
know
better.
It, but you're not telling a group of reporters on camera that
it's the idea of being shocked by the notion that you could get benched yeah. is. You shouldn't be surprised by that, but I see your point.
Yeah, I think his shock is more about a reporter telling him and not Kyle Whittingham saying, Bryce,
Dude,
that's pretty bad.
That was awful.
We need to correct
Kyle Whittingham too, man. This is one just track. I don't know where their year goes. Maybe the car kid, the backup, is going to save him. Maybe Underwood turns it around. Like, he had a chance to ride off into the sunset. Utah, all-time winningest coach.
He's doing the old guy,
he's trying
one last
to
ride thing.
Roll the dice, see how it goes. And for a lot of these guys, a la Mike Riley, it doesn't work out too well.
Well, check Nebraska's records, actually. Mike Riley was a godsend for them.
Yeah, there's never a question in my mind. I didn't necessarily think about, you know, stamping that in that moment. That's just, that's how I feel. I don't, you know, I am where my feet are, and I try to attack every day with championship mindset, like I said before, and you know, I love it here. I love everything about this place, so you know, we're going to make it work.
Yeah, Joe Burrow stepping in Cafe de Dirt and Sprague on his comments recently about staying with the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm another, like, one of my top probably five curious teams this year. I saw Hawkins on NFL Live yesterday. Mm-hmm. He has the Bengals winning the Super Bowl.
Whoa.
And then they have, like, seven other people making picks. None of them had the Bengals at all. So it's a fascinating team of, like, is the defense going to be better? They lost their edge rusher to Baltimore.
Yeah, but added a stud D tackle.
But added a stud D tackle from the draft. And yeah, I don't know what to make of him. We know how great he is when he plays.
Yeah, I also, like, it's great that he's saying this stuff going into the year. If I'm a Bengal fan, I'm probably eating up that slop. I also, how many times did Damian Lillard say he was going to retire a Blazer? Now, ironically,
well,
he's probably going to retire a Blazer, but there was a bit of a pit stop in between. Remember LaMarcus Aldridge saying, I want to be the greatest Blazer of all time, and then walking away in free agency the very next year? It's very easy going into a year when everybody's feeling great to say, I plan on being here my entire career. Now, picture this. Their defense still blows. His offensive line can't keep him upright. Mm-hmm. He gets hurt again, and they miss the playoffs again. Is he singing the same tune after this year? Probably not.
Order up! You know, I definitely think the thing about Mountain Lions is usually when you notice them, it's because they noticed you a long time ago. But I'm just excited to get out there. I am, you know, feel like I'm pacing. I feel like I've been in this, you know, practice schedule for a long time, and it's exciting to get out there and go play another team, but really exciting. And you know, I know our guys are going to respond well, and I feel like I got a great group with me that you know, I'm going in here with, so you know, can't wait.
There is transfer portal U quarterback,
hey,
Bo Nix.
Hey,
by the way, Christian Gonzalez,
it's Oregon Duck to you, baby.
Oregon,
that's right. Put you in the league. You're welcome.
When is Denver's first primetime game? Because I think
he's
going to say Oregon.
Don't they play? Isn't it primetime week one? Or am I wrong on that?
Aren't they got the
football?
Chiefs on Monday
Chiefs,
Night Football.
Right.
Yeah, Monday Night Football.
He's probably going to say Oregon. So here's the context.
Oh, he's for sure going to say Oregon.
Why would you not shout out Auburn?
Was he a Heisman finalist there? Did he lose a Pac-12 championship at Auburn?
Wait.
Did he set the completion percentage of college football at
Are
Auburn?
Are we bragging about a Pac-12
Is he the best Knicks to ever play quarterback at Auburn?
Oh, no.
Is he the only Oregon player in program history to lose twice to Washington in one season?
Yes, he has to be.
I would say maybe say Auburn.
He's got that going for him.
No, all jokes aside. So that's Bo Nix. Cortland Sutton was asked how Bo Nix is looking and feeling, and he basically says he's like a mountain lion. He's ready to go and attack right now.
Ready to pounce on your ass.
Which is why he referenced the mountain lion at the beginning there. Another team. Me and Vegas could not disagree more, but if they are to fall a little flatter than they did last year, I have to assume it's because he didn't quite have the season people expect him to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of what else it would be, right?
On the defensive side.
Sure, no doubt about it, and injuries to him, right? Like we saw with Darnold, it can change at any moment last night. I'm with you. They added a weapon on the outside. I think they have one of the better offensive lines in the league. I don't know where their defense ranks, but it's certainly in the upper echelon of the NFL. Like, it's hard to see where the drop-off comes, and there is a level of disrespect to Bo of even use the quarterback from last night as an example. Who's the best quarterback from that class? And nobody ever mentions Bo Nix. And here he's been consistently good both years, in the playoffs both years, into the AFC Championship game last year. But immediately we throw other names out, and I can't wait to watch him Monday night. It's going to be fun.
And finally on Cafe de Dirt and Sprague.
Order up!
There's two teams that are national championship or bust this year. There's two of them. Oregon and Texas, because of Dante Moore and Arch Manning, all the talent around those quarterbacks for
Brilliant
Sark and Dan
pie.
Lanning. Those two coaches have to win a national title or it's a bust. So they got pressure. They got expectations. They can deal with it. These are two veteran quarterbacks that smartly opted to go back for another year, Moore and Manning, and they could be vying to see who that quarterback is that's dictating policy come late April.
There's Mel Kiper, ESPN Radio. I know you're hot and bothered. I'll let
Challenge
you go.
Challenge giant flag.
But he is talking about Texas and Oregon. Not Oregon, no. Oregon.
I will let you opine about my college football program if you can say the state of the name of the state correctly.
Yeah.
If you can't say
that's just a charm city accent.
The state correctly.
Oregon?
I'm not you I don't care what you think about my program.
It's not an A in there.
If you don't know how to pronounce the state. Oregon. There's not that many of them. This is not complicated.
What state
we've been around for, you know, long time.
What state do you say wrong the most? I probably once in a blue moon will say Illinois, but I don't do that much anymore.
I don't say any of them wrong.
Yeah.
Because I know the name of the states.
Why can't we be right?
We'll
just say our state right.
You're an idiot if you don't know how to say the name of the state.
Well, also, you think Lane Kiffin is a title or bust? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. There we go. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We do it every day at 7 a.m. We have a lot to get to in hour number two. Let's talk about the Netflix Australia game, mate. Rams Niners tonight. We'll get to that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We will get into college football. Talk about those Oregon Ducks and the Oregon State Beavers. I will say, a little bit of a controversial opinion. I think your uniforms this weekend are the best uniforms you have.
It's a pretty good look, man.
Point blank.
It's a pretty good look.
Home, away, old school, not your school, doesn't matter. Give me any combo. That's the best combo Oregon has.
It's a new helmet. They've never worn those helmets before.
Yep.
So it's a new white face mask with the white O on the green helmet.
I'm not a yellow guy. Don't really like yellow. Okay, so, like, fair. I like that it's very limited. Yeah. And I like you have the duck on the patch. And
it's
then
the
you
candy
got
apple green.
The candy apple green, man. Yeah. Gummy bear green is what I like to call it.
It is a good look. I think it'll pop well with the orange and black of Oklahoma State. Should be
too.
A good atmosphere. It is their home opener. I think they have the longest. I think I read correctly that they had the longest or have. The longest home opening winning streak in college football. They won like 30 in a row or something crazy, which is wild.
And they have a really bad loss at home last year. Was that not week one?
They had a very bad win at home. They struggled with, who was it? They barely beat somebody, and it was like,
uh-oh. Didn't they win like, it was like 13 to 12 or something weird, wasn't
it? A hideous football game that they had no business being in, and it was a bit of a red flag for what was to come the rest of the way. I'll go look up that score. So that was a unique thing. But I'm with you. Those uniforms, anytime you get a school color involved, what an ironic concept. It looks pretty good.
Back-to-back weeks. Look about at you guys. You're on a winning streak.
No, this is what we do every year. This is what we do every year. We waste our great uniforms early in the season.
No.
Although a lot of people did watch on CBS. The numbers came in, and they were massive.
This would be elite in Columbus, this uniform decision.
Don't worry. We'll wear silver.
Yeah, you'll come out. Well, you can't because the Buckeyes, but you'll come out in all orange and dark blue.
We'll find a way. Don't you worry about us, all right?
Let's talk about the Netflix Australia game.
Another shrimp on the pop, eh?
Sean McVay and the Rams have landed after their 16-hour flight.
Oh, they did make it?
They did.
They are there.
And they have fast-tracked straight into practice walkthrough mode before getting ready for the game. Sean McVay was asked about his flight.
I'm just so excited about this 16-hour flight. No, you know what? I think we're excited to play. It's still the fact that we're still over 48 hours away from kickoff. You know, it feels like we're just excited to play. And this is a part of it. We're not going to let it bother us anymore. And I do feel good about our plan. You know, I think our players trust, you know, the plan that we've put in place for them and how we're going to travel, make it as seamless as possible, not minimizing the length of it. And then try to go be at our best when we kick off at 10:35 or whatever time it is that we're kicking off in Australia, but 5:35 on Thursday in our head.
It's a good game on paper because Shanahan and McVay tend to have pretty good back and forths. One will win when you least expect it, and they're really close usually when they're going head-to-head.
Mac Jones beat him in L.A. last year.
No doubt. I'm looking forward to the game. I understand this has been kind of a tired talking point, but it continues to be, hey, it's the travel idea game. Hey, should you go to an Australia game a week early or should you just wait till the day before, fly in, play the game, and then leave? Like, the outcome either way is going to have people believing that one team chose the right idea versus just saying, hey, maybe the Rams, even without Aaron Donald, are the better team. Or, hey, maybe the Niners, who always play the Rams tough when they have good years or bad years,
right?
Maybe they're pretty good. Like, I don't know if we're going to conclude, although many people are.
Oh, there will be big takeaways.
What
don't
the
you
travel,
worry.
Like what the itinerary is, and how it played a factor into the game.
The first thing that people will point to in the aftermath of this game is either direction. See, I told you it's fine to show up the day before. There was no issue whatsoever. Or you idiots who thought they could show up the day before the game and
you
play in Australia. You look tired. You look jet lagged.
Right.
We've had a lot of people. you know, gives, you know, anecdotes socially about how tough it is and the travel and how, you know, long it takes and the time difference and the difficulty of adjusting and all that. I still have a hard time understanding what the Rams are doing. A lot of people are arguing the science makes sense for them. I think that's what makes this the most fascinating, is that you have billion-dollar corporations on both sides saying, no, this is the right way to do it. No, this is the right way to do it. And they could not be further opposites on how to go about this. And so it'll be fun to see how that all plays out tonight. I still think the idea of playing a game in Australia is ridiculously dumb. I do expect the atmosphere to be awesome, because whenever there is a sporting event in Australia, it usually has an awesome crowd. And so it should be a fun atmosphere. Playing there is dumb, but I'm excited because these are two teams that were, you know, competing for the NFC West last year. Seattle ends up winning it at the end of the season. But every time that they play, it seems to be a really good game, no matter who is or who is not available. They kind of go head-to-head that way. And so I think it should be a fun one tonight.
Something that, like, I kind of like that's not important at all. I thought it was really smart by the Niners. If you're going to do international games, get as many fans as you can. They got there a week early. All they've done is basically tour Australia.
It's brilliant.
And marketed and become like the brand of Australia.
The Rams wanted this game in Australia because when the Niners play in L.A., it's a home game for San Francisco.
And so San Francisco got there a week early.
San Francisco said, all right, we'll make it a home game in Australia too, you bastards. How about that?
And it's funny because you don't have to care about your brand in another country that you may never play in again. The Rams clearly don't care. They're like, nah, we're just going to show up, play the game, get the heck out of there.
They don't give a rip at all.
Whereas, like, I'm watching Steve Irwin's kid. And he's like, yeah, we're looking forward to the Niners. And I'm like,
the
yes,
Niners
you
are in town. The Niners are here.
Yes, you are.
Bosa and Kittle both off the injury list.
But will be very, I would be stunned if we saw much of either of them. Shanahan basically said Bosa's a little more behind than Kittle is, but I don't expect to see Bosa, Kittle a whole lot.
No.
They just suffered the loss of Alfred Collins. There'll be no Aaron Donald in this game. You know, it's more just like, what's tough is it's such a big travel game that I don't know if there's real conclusions. If the Rams are to lose tonight, I don't know if I'm going to jump on tomorrow. I'm like, you know, this is a concern for the Rams. I might just be like, it's a stupid game to be played.
None of this make any sense.
None of this made sense. It should have been played in L.A.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you know, unless they suffer more injuries because, you know, they've been jinxed in the Shanahan era with injuries, if they lose, I'm not going to be like, whoa, I'm shocked they lost to the Rams. I'm more just curious to see how this is going to shake out in the NFC West. The Seahawks have lost Darnold. We'll have to wait and see what the timeline is on that. But their defense is not going anywhere. And the Rams are coming in with mostly the highest of expectations of all teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the idea of Super Bowl or bust. We just did that with, you know, in the college game, Oregon and Texas being in that category. The Rams are that in the NFL. They are, anything short of a championship will seem like a disappointment.
It's massively disappointing.
Which is a really tough world to live in, right? Because it's incredibly hard to win a Super Bowl. And you need healthy, you need matchups, you need the ball to bounce your way. Like, it's not an easy thing to do, even if you are the most talented team on paper. No Aaron Donald tonight, right? So there's that aspect of it where he's back, but he's not going to be playing tonight. You do get the first look at Myles Garrett potentially and how he's going to play, but I think you pointed to something that makes this game a little more interesting, and that is we don't know what the next couple of weeks will look like for Seattle and Sam Darnold. We don't have an answer yet on how long he will be out and what the timeline looks like. They showed last night that they can win a game without him, and they very well might be able to do that in the handful of weeks to come because the next two games, you know, aren't out of this world challenging, and maybe Seattle starts off the season 3-0, and you're like, ha-ha, we didn't even need Sam Darnold. We'll be okay. That's also an unknown. I don't know how Drew Lock's going to play week in and week out, and teams game planning around that. And so if I'm the 49ers and I'm the Rams, the Seahawks won the division last year. They won the championship last year. They might not be coming in as their overwhelming favorites, but in my mind they are because they won the thing last year. And so I got a chance to get a leg up because Seattle might struggle for the next month. We don't know what they're going to look like offensively with Drew Lock playing every game, depending on how long he has to play for. And so all of a sudden, these divisional games, they already mattered a ton. But now that Seattle looks a little bit vulnerable, potentially with a quarterback injury, I think it adds even more to the stakes of whoever wins this game is going to feel great coming out. And if you're the 49ers and you find a way to pull off this win without some of your key guys playing, and you get the Rams coming back to your building later in the season, that's a terrific way to start your season.
Yeah, you know, I think the quarterbacks of the game are a very interesting element of this as well. We'll see what Myles Garrett does with Trent Williams, how often they go against each other.
If
they just line them up opposite and say, let's just wreak havoc on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Stafford had one of the greatest quarterback seasons we've ever seen.
From a broken back to an MVP, hell of a run.
He's taken epidural shots to even exist in practice, and then he goes and he has 65 completion percentage, 4,700 yards, 46 touchdowns, and 7 picks, and wins the league MVP and comes up 5 yards short of winning the Super Bowl. And so I'm more curious, like, is he going to hold up? How do you follow up that kind of season? Mm-hmm. And then what a second Super Bowl does to a legacy of a player
Changes it, yeah.
I mean, we all, him going to the Rams and being good, I have found it always odd that, like, people acted surprised.
He's been the most underrated quarterback of this entire generation, but he didn't win a playoff game, Sprague. How many playoff wins do you have? That's all that matters.
I don't remember you and I's, like, opinion of what we exactly said, but, like, I'm pretty confident in saying both of us, like,
God.
That's a great move.
Stafford with McVay's offense.
Oh, my God.
And Cooper Kupp at the time.
And they end up getting Nacua. Like, I just, the legacy changer. And then I think on the other side, I think debatably one of the most disrespected quarterbacks that starts in the NFL point blank in Brock Purdy.
It's nothing to do with it. It's all Shanahan's system.
Exactly.
It's not
Mac Jones goes 5-3, it makes people say that.
Yeah, and Garoppolo won at a decent level there. I do think that I agree with the assessment that I think he's pretty disrespected. Two for Stafford changes everything. It just does. It puts you into such an elite category, and I would argue he should already be there because it's not his fault he had to play the first 10 years of his career in Detroit where they didn't have a puncher's chance of doing anything. And the first second he gets out of there, he wins a damn Super Bowl.
How is he comped to Rodgers? This is Rodgers' last year.
Yeah.
It's something to think about is like...
They're very similar in a lot of ways.
He wins the Super Bowl. I think he's past Rodgers for everybody.
Probably, yeah. From a milestone standpoint in that regard, yeah.
You survived Detroit. You put up all those great years with Megatron.
Calvin Johnson helps.
And then you go to the Rams with McVay, and you get an MVP, and you win your first Super Bowl. You threw a no-look pass in the game at a crucial moment, and then, you got another one. Like... He quickly goes from all-time good quarterback to maybe in a tier of, man, if he wouldn't have gone to the Lions for a decade.
If you had 10 years of your career with a competent organization, what are we saying about you?
I think a lot of people are going to be asking that. Yeah. Like, dude, if you would have landed in the right spot at the coming out of the draft and not Detroit, the basement of the NFL.
This is year 6 in L.A., right? And he's been to a Super Bowl, another NFC Championship game. Outside of the year where he got banged up and they just cratered. Like, they've been relevant in a playoff team essentially every single season. And for Purdy, like, he's got a... I'll be curious to see how their offense looks with new weapons. Mike Evans, the addition there. They love the kid out of Ole Miss that they took in the second round. He had a really nice preseason.
Stribling
had a really nice preseason for them. And so he's got some different pieces to work with, whether or not Kittle is available. That's been an issue for them where it feels like their entire offense is Christian McCaffrey. Just give it to McCaffrey, give it to McCaffrey, give it to McCaffrey, especially when other guys are banged up. And so Evans, I don't know what he has left in the tank, but I'm excited to see what he looks like tonight. And then, you know, a rookie might come in and be the game changer that they've looked for offensively for the last couple of years because the other guy they took in the first round hasn't been able to stay healthy and hasn't been able to play.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on it. Netflix game, Australia tonight. It goes down. Looking forward to it. A lot more to get into. It's a Magic Hat Thursday. College football conversation next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. It is 7:45 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. The Fan text line is 503-864-6326. We'll have more football to get to today. Do you have Blazers on your show sheet?
I do not have any Blazers on my show sheet today. No.
Right. Just wanted to ask.
Just checking.
Just asking questions.
Checking in, making sure.
A couple weeks away from camp.
No, they are so out of sight, out of mind for me right
now. Are they?
Yeah, man, you wait all offseason for football to start. There was a bit of a like, man, I can't believe, as I'm like sitting down watching that game last night, like, I can't believe it's here.
It didn't feel real.
It
to
didn't.
Your point,
it's
I don't know if you
Wednesday.
Said this on the air or off the air. It's like how weird it kind of felt, and I was excited for it, and then I'm like,
no doubt.
It is Wednesday.
What is happening? This is supposed to be a Thursday night game, but we have to do this Australia thing, so now the game's got to play, and on Wednesday.
Well, and today, it's, you know, we got our Thursday nights, usually the kickoff, but it's really Friday where the teams are playing, so that's odd. Then we take our 2 days off,
right?
And then it's Sunday,
and
it's like red zone,
sleep.
And there's four less teams available for the red zone.
The Wednesday start has totally thrown me for a loop.
You can't take in the Miami Hurricanes hosting Florida A&M tonight, if you wish.
I'm sure we'll
they
be
cover
a dabble
a 58 and a half point spread.
That'll be a vicious battle. I can't wait for them to move up in the rankings for beating
Rattlers.
Florida A&M. Yeah.
Mike Ryan, who works for the Dan Le Batard Network, I thought had a really funny tweet. Football season doesn't actually start until Scott Hansen says Kaimi Fairbairn.
That's a great joke. I love that.
That's great. I love good kicker names, man. Jeff Fiegels.
Jeff Fiegels, God.
I want to pivot into college football.
What do you got, Bob?
Well, Mel Kiper's telling me there's only two, you know, boom or bust teams in college, and Oregon is one of those teams to him.
Great point from Harley, too. I love me some Brad Nessler, but in the rewatch of the game.
Oh, what did you think of Charles Davis?
Charles Davis was great. A massive upgrade.
Great upgrade.
I mean, just can we all call a spade a spade there? Not having a senile color analyst is a great upgrade for the broadcast. Can we learn how to say Autzen? Autzen?
How did they say it? I guess I
Autzen.
Missed it. Autzen.
Autzen Stadium. Like, how long?
Nessler was saying that?
Yes.
He was there like four times last year.
He's been going to games at Oregon for 30 years.
Autzen?
Autzen.
Hmm.
This isn't complicated, man. It's not complicated.
Well, maybe he should study up in Oregon State history.
Can't wait till we go play at Illinois. Illinois' game's going to be really fun. Arkansas, who do they got this weekend?
Why is our state the only state in the entire union that is always said wrong?
Look, I understand.
Our neighbors to the north get Washington all the time.
No, that's an accent. That's not a...
Well, some would argue what Kuiper's doing is an accent.
No, people like... It's like the Gonzaga.
Yeah.
That's not an accent. That's a choice to not learn it.
Yeah,
Washington is like, somebody in Wisconsin said Washington.
You put an R in there? There's no R in there.
There's no
man.
R in
but
there.
Somebody in North Carolina isn't it calling it Washington.
No, it's also one, like if you see it for the first time and you mispronounce it, I understand that. If you see Autzen spelled for the first time, if you wanted to pronounce it that way,
TZ there. That's kind of weird. I get it.
I get it. Yeah. Like, okay, you're a little confused. It's been the name of the stadium forever.
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't learned how to say it at this point, we've been a state since the 1800s, man. If you haven't wrapped your head around how to say the name of the state.
Oregon.
Like, that's on you.
What are you doing with
And me? I immediately disrespect, like, I immediately discount you.
Maybe I've been doing spelling tests every day after school for my youngest, trying to give her, you know, fifth, sixth grade words.
How's your spelling game? You feeling good?
My spelling game, yeah, I feel
pretty
good
sharp
about mine.
You ready to take on all the homeschooled nerds in the script spelling bee?
No, I am not. State spelling. I'll just start rattling off states.
Oh, there you go.
Know how to pronounce your stuff.
I'll give her 10 difficult states to see how she can spell them. You
know what I mean? Connecticut's a difficult one.
Yeah. Is there any state that we say
Rhode
right,
Island,
but you don't think it should be pronounced the way it is?
Mississippi.
Mississippi, huh?
Mississippi. That's how it should be said.
Mississippi. But the ISS thing is
why of all the states to get the song spelling was Mississippi the only one?
Because of how it's spelled. It's so odd.
I mean, I get it. Other states are hard to spell too, though. There's a few other out there in the batch.
What's the second hardest state to spell besides Mississippi? Massachusetts?
Massachusetts is
probably Connecticut.
Yeah, it's Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut.
But nobody pronounces it.
Connecticut.
That's if you say it phonetically, that's how it sounds. Mm. But that's not. We don't say that because we're not idiots and we know it's Connecticut.
I still think Maine should drop the E. Be the main thing of the country. I've always hated that. Why are we adding E's to this? There's literally a word that says Maine.
Welcome to the main stage.
Yeah, welcome to the main stage.
Welcome
to the main country of the world.
This is a great question. The other, other states that are hard to spell.
I think those are the two: Mississippi, Massachusetts, Connecticut. Those are three.
If you asked her how to spell Wyoming, would she be able to do it?
No, she probably. Knowing my daughter, she'll probably start it with a Y. And I'll go W, and she goes, what?
Yeah, see, that's like for younger kids, that one could be tough.
Right. And maybe she's seen the state, too, on the map in class. You know, I don't know what she's going to know how to
spell. I would be willing to guess for younger people, Louisiana's a little difficult as well.
That's a tough
There's
one to
There's a lot
spell.
Of I's, there's some S's. It's, I can see it's jumbled together a little bit.
I could understand that.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Georgia's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, with the E-O.
With the E-O, and then the R and the G, and yeah, that's kind of an odd one.
Other than that, yeah, it's pretty simple. That's kind of on you if you don't know how to spell them.
I tend to agree with you.
To the point of Oregon, pretty simple.
The Oregon Ducks are heading on the road to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Have you been to Stillwater, Oklahoma?
I've never been to the state of Oklahoma before. What am I missing?
Oh, you've never been to the state?
I've never been.
Absolutely flat and terrible, and I will always punk Oklahoma as a state, but I will tell you, I've been to it several times, and I probably will always have a weird connection to a state that I used to visit a lot for family.
Weren't you born in Oklahoma?
I was born in Amarillo, Texas.
Close, okay. Is that up in the panhandle?
No.
Okay. Where's Dillo at? Where's the armadillo at?
My oldest actually always, you were born in Armadillo.
Armadillo.
I'm like, okay.
I mean, that's one that you just got to say when you see it. You got to go Armadillo.
Yeah, I know. I was born in Texas, but I had a lot of family growing up. My mom lived in Oklahoma momentarily. Like,
look at you, you urban cowboy.
I'll always hate the state and weirdly have like some weird connection to it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Stillwater's awful.
Stay away at all times.
In fact, I'll tell you this. I've been to Oklahoma City. I've been to all the, you know, the Tulsas and the Lawtons. Dude. I've never been to anything in Oklahoma that I enjoyed. Not a single thing. It's such an awful state.
That's why they love their football, man. There's not a lot else going on down there.
Well, it was debatable last weekend because I'm going to tell you firsthand, I haven't been to Oklahoma in maybe 10 years.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you with 100% confidence, they were absolutely irate about that kick last week because it was on Friday. And every town in Oklahoma, it is a religion for them to shut down the town.
I didn't even think about
that. Go to the high school football game.
It was a no-nobody team, too. Like, it was 50-something to nothing.
They were put in a rock, you know, between a rock and a hard place. But, look, I know we'll get into it some tomorrow. Dusty's about to fly down in a couple hours. I'm just going to tell you, I have a hard time. There's not an angle to this game here. They
you won going by no juice? Are you no juice in me?
There's
Indiana
zero.
Week here?
Zero. They won by 66 last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if they win by 66 this year, but like, there's nothing about what I saw from Oklahoma State against Tulsa that gives me any juice about this game.
Yeah, I mean, here's all I'll say. I tend to agree with you. I have a hard time with their five transfer offensive linemen seeing how they're effective in this game. I also just know I remember the game a couple of years ago. Oregon got all they could handle from Texas Tech and Tyler Shuck, ironically, early in the Joey McGuire era, early in the Dan Lanning era. And the week before that game, Texas Tech had played Wyoming at home and lost. And Wyoming, that was not a Josh Allen Wyoming team. And so that's the only, like, who you are in week one does not always mean who you will be in week two.
Sure.
By the way, the team they struggled with last year was UT Martin. I went and looked it up.
UT Martin,
it was like
you.
14-7 going into the fourth quarter, and they added two garbage time touchdowns to win 27-7.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, oh, my God, this isn't going to be good. And that was one where week one showed you what was going to happen in week two. Not always the case, but, yeah, this does seem like a spot where I think the correct takeaway from Oregon's Boise game is that wasn't great, needs to be better. But it also can be the great opportunity for Dan Lanning to light into him a little bit, and we'll see what kind of performance we get on Saturday morning.
Yeah, we can get more into this. I know we'll talk about it tomorrow as well. I expect a big day for the defensive line in a way that we didn't necessarily see against Boise because of what you mentioned with the offensive line. So we'll have more on this. Is there juice for the game? I mean, we're all going to watch the game, right? We're going to have breakdowns and takeaways from it.
When will it start? That's the fun question. Well, and when will it end? That's the other fun question.
We're on storm watch with it. But Oregon, Oklahoma State is this weekend, and Texas Tech comes to Reese. We'll have more on college football in the third hour, more NFL, and then Magic Hat in the fourth hour. Dirt and Sprague Hour 3 is next on 105.1 The Fan.